Sorry, I brought cookies.
Yeah.
I hate global pandemics.
I gotta get off social media.
Today on the Geek Out Podcast, we're a month to Christmas, so I compiled a bunch of websites to help you shop local.
People who ordered the PS5 on Amazon are instead getting George Foreman grills and cat food.
Probably wouldn't get that if you shop local.
The Office is leaving Netflix December 31st.
Michael J. Fox is retiring from acting because fuck Parkinson's.
And we review and recommend a bunch of stuff, including the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion.
Nerdy is the new sexy.
Let's go to be a geek.
The Zones Geek Out, the podcast.
It's the Zones Geek Out podcast. This is episode 112. We record this on November 24th, 2020. I am Webmeister Bud, and because COVID, I am not in the control room anymore. Brian has not been in the control room for quite a while. And yeah, of the people who do need to go into the control room, I'm pretty lowest on the list. I usually would come in twice on a Tuesday, once in the morning to record my weekly Geek Out, and once in the evening to record the Geek Out podcast with Paul and Art and Kirsten in the room and Brian at home. But now I'm also at home because COVID. And I host Bud's Weekly Geek Out from home, Wednesdays at 7:20 with Dylan and Jason in the Morning Zone.
I would argue that he is the most important for this podcast, though.
To be in the room?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to have him.
That's like, I can't do the wrap it up signal with my hands.
Yeah, we need you. It's that energy you have in the room, too. Is it supposed
that's
to be
sugar.
Me?
No, it's Bud now.
Oh. Or no, it's Brian.
No, it's supposed to be Art now.
Oh.
That's why we need Bud in the room. Oh, then there's nobody there to point.
Sorry. We just went over
and
that.
And Brian doesn't see the point.
Yeah, I don't see the point.
My name is Art Aronson.
Hi, Art.
Hey.
Hi, Art.
Hey, Brian.
My name is DJ Boitano. I do the weekend zone and the mixtape in the afternoon zone.
Great. Thanks. I'm Paul Bacino, and I guess we're like first year broadcast students is what we all sound like this week. What's the deal? This is rough. Rough. I'm Paul Bacino, and I host that afternoon zone. Thank you.
Kirsten James on air.
Yes.
Inside joke of radio people, because radio people think it's so cool to have their name on air as their Twitter handle or Instagram or anything online. And it's well so done. Lame.
Well done, Kirsten. Well done. Whew. All right.
I feel bad for them because they pick that handle like as they are in first year broadcast school, and then it just sticks, and then they can't change that. Yeah. We got to change your Instagram handle.
You know that
and
is, they though, choose that's like some teacher being like, make sure you lock down your Instagram personality, blah, blah, blah. And they're probably the ones that are suggesting on
and
air.
Here's the thing. So? You're locking down a not a modifier, a conflict. There's a word I'm trying to. Anyways, you're locking down a word that ties you to being on the air in one of the most volatile industries we have.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. It's not just in radio though. Like I see it in sports. Someone puts like sports next, like at the end of their hand.
Was that
off,
me?
Like,
sports.
Just sports, yeah.
Sports.
Yeah.
It's just wildly cheesy, and I don't know. Can you imagine people doing it at the top level? Can you imagine at Howard Stern on air? People be like, at Joe Rogan, podcaster.
I thought you were talking about like at whoever, CEO, like Mark Zuckerberg,
yeah.
CEO.
Yeah.
Or just like a random accountant going, at John Smith. Numbers.
but if Howard Stern or Joe Rogan did it, then it'd be cool to do it, right? It would have the opposite effect.
That's regrettable, but probably true. Yeah. Okay, this week on Bud's Weekly Geek Out, as I recorded this on, or as it aired on Wednesday, I guess this might come out on Wednesday, probably on Thursday. Anyways, the 25th of November is when the Weekly Geek Out aired, giving us one calendar month to Christmas. So if you Christmas, hurry the frick up. And I linked to a a number of different websites with a number of different businesses. There's no one directory to rule them all, unfortunately. So I linked to a bunch of these websites that link to shopping local, like local Victoria businesses. So you can do the right thing this Christmas and shop local as opposed to your big box stores or online. That's about it.
That's really great, bud. I think it's really, really important. I think especially this year, as like somehow, I don't know what it is, but those big box stores, and God bless them and God love them, but they seem to have been raking in tons of money as like smaller, more independently owned businesses, are close to going out of business. I don't know what it is about this pandemic that has exacerbated an already crummy situation, like a funneling of money towards one end of this and not the other, where we have to have these shop local campaigns because they got to struggle, unfortunately.
Well, because of the pandemic, it has set it up to make the big box stores more successful. It just has. It's been a side effect of the pandemic.
Because of their like greater reach, and they've got the infrastructure that's more well set up so like people can continue shopping. Yeah, I guess that's true, right? They have set up with all of their resources to suck as much money out of everybody as humanly possible in the regular times. And so those avenues for them to continue to suck your money are just as that much easier to use in pandemic time. I guess that makes sense. And God bless you, bud, for putting this list out. But would you say, as like a general rule, if I can't read a list, for example, or don't feel like it right now, that you know who the big players are, you know who the boxes are, just stay away? Like, if you're just going into a place, you know, in your town, is that kind of, you're on the right track?
Yeah, you know what? That's great. The opposite advice of just stay away from the big box and the online stores almost does just as much good as find something specific on this list of shop local. Right. Just shop local.
Yeah, you know, that's it. You know who the big gigantics are. If you can stay out of those as best you can. And I get it, too. I totally understand. I saw someone actually on Twitter last week really making the case of, hey, stop telling me to shop local. I'm serious. I'm so serious.
Really?
Yo, yeah. And it was like, it's more convenient and I've got kids to raise or something. That was like the general point of it.
Huh.
And I was like, okay, if it makes it. And then I think it actually bit them in the ass. They like ordered a pièce de résistance and the cat food showed up and they like, and they had, you know, could do nothing about it. There was no customer service that was going to help them get their PS5 or whatever. Anyways, I'm not telling tales out of school here about that. I'm just saying like that I understand the increased ease and convenience of shopping at these big gigantic stores and certainly of ordering things online. I saw a guy at a grocery store and he had this little thing. It's called a hair bow and it's popular in India. Okay. And it would be perfect for my hair. My hair is a mess all the time, but he had this little thing. It's like a men's hair bow. He called it. And I asked him, I was like, where'd you get that thing? And he's like, oh, just on Amazon. I was like, huh, shit. Okay, I've never bought anything off of Amazon. And I've been looking and looking, and sure enough, they're like, you know, $6 from Amazon India, and you got to do the ruble conversion as well and everything. It's wild. But I'm like, okay, I want to pull the trigger on this thing, but I can't bring myself to buy anything, even a $5 men's hair accessory from India that isn't available in Canada. I'm in Claire's. Excuse me, hello, I'm an old man in Claire's. Excuse me, kitty cat and ice cream cone shaped barrettes. Do you also have this thing for a large man? And they're like, please go. We're calling a police now. Do you know what I mean? Like, but that doesn't exist, but I won't buy it on Amazon. So I understand.
Amazing for
they
you
have
for
everything.
Holding to that standard. Great work.
What did you say?
Amazing for you for holding to that standard. Great work.
I'm trying, right? I mean, I get it. And like, it's going to break me. I'm going to finally spend a few dollars on Amazon.
Yeah. Sometimes there's only so much you can do.
What
it's frustrating.
A hair bow?
It's called a hair bow. A men's hair bow.
You have to put the word men's in front of it.
Right.
Probably just in.
It's like Bic for her.
Because when you know, it's like women's hair bow. If you Google that, unfortunately, you're just going to get a bunch of like, you know, pretty girly pinky things. Anywho, it's a totally different thing. But, so just one example. Anyway, good for this list to exist, bud.
Huzzah. So, a couple things coming soon.
Wait, is it just this thing?
What?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's all it is.
You can get that at Shopper's Drug Mart.
Can you?
Yes. There you go.
Here's a soldier. See? Are you looking at the Haribos? Because yeah, I was going to mention they make these. Shoppers Drug Mart would be a great place. This is not a male exclusive thing. I've seen everybody wear it.
I'm leaving this podcast. I'm going to Shoppers Drug Mart right now to buy it.
Oh, I'm okay. So excited Bye. To see your new hair.
Bye. I'll see you tomorrow. So great. I'll see you from the end of the. No, but and Brian. No, I want to get Brian's actually just weigh in on this local thing as well, because the way I really feel it is with kids. There's so much stuff you gotta buy for kids that mm-hmm. just becomes so much more streamlined and so much cheaper to buy it online, to buy it through Amazon, whatever. Like, how do you feel about all that?
I try as much as I can to here's the thing. If I don't know if I would go to those lengths that you went to just make sure that I'm buying it locally. If it's not available here, you know, it's not available here, and that's kind of where I'll, you know, okay, well, let me look online to see if it's available online.
Right.
But for the most part, it's not like I'm scrolling through Amazon to find all these, oh, cool thing here, cool thing here, cool thing here. I'm just going to, you know, keep buying this online. If I need something, I know locally where I can get it, kind of thing. So it's never really been like a big kind of issue for us, but yeah, it's not like we'll ever go out of our way to get something online, especially if we can get it locally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just, for me, like, wealth inequality is one of the greatest issues facing our society. That's where we're at right now. It's mm-hmm. don't have to worry about saber-toothed tigers no more, and we don't, you know, we gotta worry about COVID now, but generally health has never been better for our race of human beings. What is happening now, unfortunately, is this drastic inequality between people that, by the way, all the other societal ills, even, you know, boiled down to COVID and access to good health care versus like the race relation stuff that we see exploding everywhere. It all is affected, and mainly it's about the wealth inequality in our society. And I just feel like those big boxes are, unfortunately, they're the like worst offenders when it comes to that. About just sucking money and hoarding it, and at the expense of communities, at the expense of, you know, working class people and the middle class and even the lower classes. And it's just like, it just sucks. And if it's one small thing I just cannot, you know, contribute to it, then I will try not to. So I feel strongly about it. That's why I'm going on here, bud. But I appreciate your list again.
I appreciate your feeling strongly about it. All right. Coming soon, Zack Snyder re-released the most recent Justice League trailer for the Snyder Cut, only it's in black and white. Whoa,
so moody.
I makes no difference. Why?
Is there a different song behind it?
Yeah.
No, same song. Same song.
Still same song.
I don't know.
This is like trolling at this point, yeah. Is it not?
Hey, yeah. You know what? Not bad. Yeah.
It is. And it's like 3 hours long, this trailer, too. I've already watched the movie now. Like, stop it.
It's not movie art. It's an experience that's a series long.
God.
It's not good. We have to see Ezra Kramer again. I thought he got canceled. Why is he popping up again here?
Yeah.
Right? Amber Heard, too. I was just like, no. But I'm probably going to end up watching this just because of the curiosity that I have.
Of course you are.
It's been marketed so well that way. Just pure curiosity at how ridiculous this is that we're having to watch this movie. That we're having to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yep. That it's out there.
Oh, you're nailing it. It's like, yeah, well, I'm going to sit through every single episode of this thing. And I'm going to gear up for it every week, get all excited. Oh, the hype is built. And then sit down and I'm going to watch it. And then at the end of it, I'm going to be like, what a piece of junk every single week.
It's become a spectacle. It has. And also, I mean, I've already complained at length about this, guys. You guys have heard this. I don't understand Batman's place in the Justice League. I just don't get it. And at the very end, there's that really cheesy, if you haven't seen this, trailer, spoiler alert, at the very end of it, he's like, whoa, this guy's fought all these other aliens in all these other dimensions, and what if we can't handle it? And Batman's like, well, he's never fought us, united. And I'm just like, no, Batman, no. You're a rich guy with some tools.
Yeah.
With some tools. Hashtag us united was all that Zack Snyder tweeted with this black and white version of the trailer. So he's really trying to make that.
What a terrible line. Ugh. Jeez.
Us united. Ugh.
Does it have a release date?
I think it does.
Like, I don't know. But this, like, us united is like the same reason why it took us like 23 movies for them to say Avengers Assemble. Because when you take that out of a comic book, it's a cheesy line.
It's cheesy.
Right? So, like, finally, when Captain America says it, everybody's been dying for it for 23 movies, and it makes sense. But, like, they've never fought us united. Like, that's so bad.
It's really bad. Oh, by the way, I'd like to point out, and this is equally a chirp to our own listenership and podcast as it is to the Zack Snyder cut. We said, like, pods and pods ago, there are those passionate, super hot Snyder cutters or whatever you're called, right? Or
cutters.
Like, the cutters. Okay. And we said, like, I want to know because I know they texted into my radio show, but I didn't read the message. But do you know what I mean? Like, reach out to us. Please explain. Why this? Why are you so excited? Why is this better? Why? And not a, actually, can we just listen to the mailbag? I'll just look inside it right now. The crickets chirp noise.
Oh, I see. Oh. Wow. I see why it's a chirp at us. Okay. Yeah.
God. Okay. Yeah. So, either no one listens to this. Yes. But also, no one can write us a little email about why the Snyder Cut, we should be excited about it, or why it will be good. I wonder if even cutters at this point are like, this thing is going to be junk.
And before anybody gets back at me about lipping off Batman there, I mean that in all due respect with Batman. Because he's obviously, he's a great superhero. There's some great movies with Batman. But just his place in the Justice League is just so, I just cannot, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Really,
I don't
think
like
you need
it
to defend that necessarily, Art, but that's fair.
You know, Batman fighting aliens, like, I just, in a spaceship. I don't understand his place in that.
Well, it was the Super Friends. It was like the 1950s or 60s when they were putting that cartoon on TV. And they're like, we 70s. Only have a half dozen superheroes that anyone gives a rip about. Who cares? We got a, you know, animation deal here. We need to crank this stupid thing out for Saturday morning
worst
cartoons. Batman and Superman have to be best friends. It made sense for cartoon because it's for kids and who cares? But now we're a bunch of 36-year-old people who want our movies to make sense about our bat-dressing people. It's insane. It doesn't work.
But it is funny, though, because, like, if you were to go all the way back then and you were to tell me that, like, Iron Man would be the bigger character today,
right,
I would have thought you were crazy. Because, like, well, and because also rightfully so, like, Iron Man never had any good cartoons, any sort of good representation, I guess, outside of, like, comic books that we could really latch on to his character. But when you look at Batman and Iron Man, they're essentially the same person. They're just, like, billionaires who are sort of geniuses, and they make their own tech and everything like that.
Yeah.
It's just Iron Man's covered himself in metal, and Batman, he's got, like, a rubber suit on.
Yeah. But, and again, we've said this to death, but Marvel just found a way to make it work. They knew what their end game was. So when they're setting up that universe, oh, sorry, name of the movie. Okay, they set it up with, it just is a line here about magic being indistinguishable from science. It's a line there. It's a, you know, it's a tone thing where
it's world Iron building,
Man, it's,
right?
Yes, where Iron Man is practically the same as Batman, because it's not in this, like, super ultra realistic, grounded reality. It's like, then it makes sense when all of a sudden Thor shows up and no one can pick up the hammer because of magic. It's like, they figured it out.
And that's, like, that's the credit, like, credit to even not just Marvel Comics, but, like, to the Kevin Feige's and all the writers and the people that are behind, like, the MCU movies. They figured out how to really ground it and to make it work. Whereas now, if you're looking at the Justice League, it's like, this looks like pieces of the puzzle that are just jammed together that weren't really supposed to fit.
Okay, stupid COVID, I can't signal this to you. I'm telling you now that I'm spinning my finger in the air in the wrap it up signal, because we spent 20 minutes just on these two topics.
Just on that.
Before we
the
do,
one thing I will say about Zack Snyder, sorry. what was your before we do? What was the one?
I bought a puzzle this week with the high hopes of we're going to be a puzzle people now. Oh, this is what sophisticates do. They sit and they sip a bourbon and they drink a puzzle.
Okay, what was your puzzle?
It's a piece of art. We went to the Toys R Us and I was tempted to buy like a children's
Toys
puzzle.
Toys R Us is not shopping local.
And
Jesus.
after that half an hour
on a diatribe about you should know which are the big box toys.
You got me there. What? Yes, you know what? I even poked my head in the local downtown toy store and was let's go to the mall. So you're right.
To Toys R Us.
Oh,
let's go to Costco.
God damn.
That's
right.
When you were also trying to go to Claire's to buy your hair bow too, right?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Had a big mall weekend. Anyways, puzzles.
What puzzle was it, though?
I don't know. It's like it's a piece of art that's made into puzzle form.
Wait, what does
Why
this have
is
to
this
do with
tied
Justice
into the Justice League?
Why
the hell did I let you go first?
Yeah.
Brian said the word puzzle!
Oh, for God's sake. Brian, say your last thing. Jeez.
I was going to say the Zack Snyder thing that I'm looking forward to for next, that's released next year instead of Justice League, is Army of the Dead. He's releasing a zombie movie on Netflix, and he's probably one of the best modern zombie movie makers because he did Dawn of the Dead.
Yes. So it'll be like a continuation of that story or that universe or whatever.
Well, I don't like, because like all of the Of the Dead movies, like the George A. Romero, they weren't ever really connected to each other. So it's not necessarily a full-on continuation, but it's, I would imagine it's going to be like a Zack Snyder zombie world where it's like running zombies.
Yeah.
Like Dawn of the Dead, yeah, it was Zack Snyder who directed it and James Gunn who wrote it. So this is the one that I'm really looking forward to.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, because you're right. They were never like a continued story with shared characters or anything with the Romero movies, but it was like, yeah, it was clear that it was all happening kind of almost at the same time, right? Like all these in these different locations, this zombie apocalypse was happening and it was all connected or whatever without any connection other than that. So it sounds like Snyder's setting himself his own little Romero-verse there, which is kind of a neat thing to do. I'm just saying, cool. It's like, you get these best wishes. Oh, we're going to make a puzzle. And then it's like, oh, well, let's just put a Schitt's Creek on while we're watching TV, you know, or while we're eating dinner. And then he's like, you let it roll. And then it's like, it's bedtime. You're falling asleep, right? So I wish it was a puzzle guy, but...
You didn't like it after all that.
It's not even open yet. I haven't even opened it. I took the wrapping off.
Okay, we're moving on. I don't know what's going on.
Zombies to puzzle without taking a breath.
This is what happens when you don't come in here, bud.
Fine. Global pandemic. It's the rules. The Snyder
you
Cut
can't
is scheduled
pandemic
for.
Pandemic for everything, okay?
This is not my choice. I would be in there with you guys masked up like this if I could.
All right, let's
but
move
I'm
on.
I'm trying to keep everybody safe. The Snyder Paul
says let's
Aloysius
move on.
Plastino, I swear to Murgatroyd. The Snyder Cut is slated to come out sometime mid-2021, keeping with the DC movies with the really clear release schedules. Patty Jenkins tweeted this large two-paragraph block of text. The time has come. Watch it in theaters and HBO Max, not at all mentioning Wonder Woman 84, although the next picture was of Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. No date at all on it. So when she tweeted that on the 18th of November, we didn't know when we could see it. So later on the 18th, Wonder Woman Film tweeted out that it will be in theaters and streaming on HBO Max on December 25th. But this is only for HBO Max subscribers in the United States and America. We then had to wait till the 19th to find out to get this quote from Crave. As Warner Brothers has indicated, Wonder Woman 1984 is scheduled to release theatrically in Canada on December 25th and will stream on Crave following its standard theatrical windows. we don't know what means or how long it will be until we can see Wonder Woman on our television sets in Canada, but we can see it on the theaters on Christmas Day if we want.
What it means is that it's not going to make much revenue in Canada because everybody's going to get a pirated version.
Yep.
That's basically that's what they're opening the door for. So,
yes.
You know. Yeah, but I think what's happening here is that I also kind of relate this to the Zack Snyder thing. I think this is going to be one of those driving things to get people to watch the Snyder Cut because, you know, you got a Wonder Woman movie that's perfect marketing because she's going to be in the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, right.
So one other thing that we have coming soon is this
trailer.
Wait,
hang on, but are we going to go and watch Wonder Woman together in the theater or no? Are we going to watch it at home, or what are we going to do? Say it's...
Oh, I thought this was going to be about puzzles. Great.
Yeah. Well, I almost did buy a Wonder Woman puzzle.
All right, okay.
Because, now, what? It was there. Do you think, like, what if it's just available to us? Like, what if, let's just assume Crave gets it together, and it is available on Crave on Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
Or we can see it in theaters. What do you all want to do?
I would just watch it on Crave in my house
really?
On Christmas.
Gonna watch it,
yeah.
I would probably going to put it on and then have a puzzle in front of me.
Oh, jeez.
I don't want to go anywhere on Christmas. I don't want to go see a movie on Christmas. I want to sit in my nice warm house with rum balls.
Yeah, okay. Art. I'm just saying.
You call yourself a geek.
I'm just saying, like...
I'll go to the theater and watch it.
I'll go to the theater with you in January to see it.
Oh, what? COVID's going to blow out in January?
Well, I thought we were in a mystical, magical situation where we were choosing if we could go, where we would go to see it.
Yeah, it's very hypothetical.
If
here.
There was no COVID, I would still watch it at home at Christmas.
New Year's Eve noisemakers are the cure for COVID, everybody. You hear it here. It just goes away. Happy New Year. Singing Auld Lang Syne makes the virus go away. Oh, wouldn't that be great? But, Here's another idea that I was talking about with a friend last week.
What?
As
Paul's
like a gift,
idea hour.
As a gift for a significant other, you get them like a puzzle of you all naked, right? And then you give them the puzzle, and then they got to make it. But there's no box, obviously. Oh. So then so part of the fun is you get to do the puzzle together naked. Isn't that fun?
Oh, okay.
Great, Paul. So another trailer that I mean, I got this from all sides. People were passing to me. I was seeing it. I was getting ads for it. It's a new movie with Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley and Mads Mikkelsen and Nick Jonas. And it's called Chaos Walking. And it's, I believe it's a, you know, you've crashed on a planet or some dystopian thing has happened. Now, there may not be another planet. But men, all... Oh, that's right. Hang on. All living creatures can hear each other's thoughts in a stream of images, words, and sounds. And this is called noise. And to quote the book that this came from, the noise is a man unfiltered. And without a filter, a man is just chaos walking. So this movie has been made from the book. Doug Liman behind The Bourne Identity and a number of other great movies is going to be behind this. And it will... be theatrically released on January 22, 2021.
Wow. Hang on. Wait a minute. I'm just confused. So we're not all just saying every single thought that comes into our heads out loud into a microphone all the time? That's not just... Yeah. What?
Paul Plastino is chaos walking.
This is...
Hey, Alex Trebek just died. You guys want to talk about me fucking?
This is another one of those movies that has been plagued by reshoots and poor test screenings.
Well, do you want to do you know when it was originally filmed and produced?
When?
2017.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And
they were going to release it on March 1st, 2019, but then did some reshoots after poor audience testing, and now we're here.
Yeah, well, and then they were going to do more reshoots. I think they were actually trying to release in 2018, but then there was scheduling things with Daisy Ridley and Rise of Skywalker and Tom Holland and Spider-Man Far From Home. So they had to, like, push the reshoots again, the, like, second round of reshoots to 2019. Anyway.
Dang.
Yeah, so it's another one of those, like, we're going to dump this movie on you.
Yeah.
Because why not?
I'm into
the
it,
new
though.
Mutants.
aren't you guys like pumped on this? The trailer looks great. I think
it's a great concept. I'm very curious.
Yeah, fascinating premise, and you know, as long as you get some sweet action into it, I don't know. I think it was a bonehead mass audience thing. I think they were like, "What? You can see the thoughts? I don't get it. Where's the lightsabers in this thing?" And they, you know what I mean? They were like, "That's what I have a feeling it is." And I think it's going to be a cool movie. I think if they would have released it originally, you know, keep it to the book or whatever, and then it's similar to that movie that Natalie Portman was in. What's that?
Oh, the Annihilation.
Annihilation.
Yeah, like kind of a high concept, sweet, weirdo sci-fi movie.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the other one too with the aliens and they were drawing the circles in the air?
Arrival.
Yeah, thanks, Kirsten. You know,
wow, well done, Kirsten.
My sci-fi.
We would be great on like a dumb guy yells out what he thinks a movie's about game, like a parlor game.
Yeah, yes. Fuck puzzles. Let's just play that game.
Yeah.
And also, you yell shit at me and I say the words.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's like, yeah, those movies, they didn't reach a massive audience. And I'm sure if you would have, you know, sent them to a bunch of test audiences and screenings and whatever, you know, Dum Dums would have said the same thing. I don't understand. What? It's a bear and a skeleton? I'm confused. Right? So, like, just release it. Just put it out. Cast looks sweet. Concept is cool. Effects look great. Action sweet. That's all in the trailer. It looks amazing.
Daisy Ridley looks weird.
Okay, well.
She does look a little different with the short blonde hair, definitely. Someone who doesn't look too much different from the first time I saw her in Kick-Ass is Chloe Grace Moretz, who is the leading human being in a CG Tom and Jerry movie that will be coming again to theaters on March 5th, 2021. This is delayed from December 23rd, 2020, which before that was moved up from April 16th, 2021. And Michael Peña and Ken Jeong are also in this. And it's CG Tom and Jerry in a human world, and it looks... eh.
Ugh.
Is it for kids, right?
I hope kids. So.
Right?
Yeah, it sure looks like it's for kids.
But that's always such a confusing thing. Is we're like, hey, kids, remember 1970s favorite cat and mouse team, Tom and Jerry? And they're like, no, Paw Patrol or GTFO. And they're like, right. Whoops, sorry, Chloe Moretz, here's your check. Bye.
The pinky in the brain. That's what I'm going for.
Nice.
So a couple of things. Number one, but I don't know if this is CGI or if this looks like traditional cell animation to me.
It is, over top traditional animation over top of like real.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting because when I was watching the trailer, I thought it looked terrible.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, it's like maybe it's gussied up a bit with some CGI, but yeah, I think it's like it's traditional animation.
Really? Yeah. I'm shocked. I thought it looked like CGI over top.
Number two. Cast, as you mentioned, Bud, those people you mentioned look pretty good. And then Rob Delaney, who's very, very a funny person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I missed that.
But I don't think he's going to save this movie or make it watchable for, you know, adults or kids, actually. And then number three, Brian, sorry, I didn't hear what you actually had to say about my idea about the nudity puzzle. And everyone else kind of glossed over it really quick. But Brian, did you have a thought about that? Did you think it was a good idea?
Well, no, I kind of, that's where the Alex Trebek thing kind of came into mind. I was like, oh, here's this week's Alex Trebek comment.
Okay, but I mean, you're a romantic guy. It's a pretty fun idea, right?
Yeah, but no, it's not going to be romantic to get my wife to put together, basically do work to see me naked. It's a lot of work for disappointment.
All right, this is why I go to Brian. He's exquisitely passionate, but it's also pragmatic. So this is—it's a balanced view. Thank you.
Well, you could just take a picture of yourself, Paul, naked, cut it up, and then give the shards out, right, in a box. Really
I like
easy.
How you called them shards.
Yeah,
give those shards out.
Okay, moving the frick on. The Office is officially leaving Netflix on December 31st this year before moving to NBC's Peacock streaming media service at some point. Not sure when it's coming to Peacock, but yeah, you've got just over a month to complete your 18th binge of The Office before it goes.
Everybody panic!
Does Netflix realize the number of subscribers they're going to lose by not paying up for The Office?
This hung on for a little bit longer than I originally thought. I thought this was going to be leaving Netflix a long time ago.
Remember when Netflix paid, didn't they pay like $10 million for Friends to be on there or something stupid?
Yeah, that's right too. Like, jeez.
I literally went to cancel Netflix last month and I was like, oh, I can't. I got to finish watching The Office first. So,
right.
Yeah. No way. Funny. Yeah.
So there you go.
Number one, we've had a decade of watching the show nonstop on repeat. Number two, this, like, they're making a big whoop-de-doo about it right now, but because of Netflix wants you to, you know, forget about The Mandalorian for 5 minutes, but guess what? I give it 3 weeks to a month tops, and it shows up on Crave or Prime or any other of the things. Hulu, I think it probably certainly is already there, but, like, anywhere that Parks and Rec is now, which is, I think it's on Prime, it'll show up.
Are you talking about The Office?
Yeah.
No, I think NBC is going to rein that in, so the only place you can see it is on Peacock. That's going to be part of their push.
I think you're right, bud.
It'd be interesting, though, but like, because that's why I thought I wasn't going to be able to see the Saved by the Bell reboot unless you know, I pirated or whatever. But it's actually on, it's going to be on cable. It's on one of the networks that I have in my cable package.
Cable.
Well,
what's
well
a cable?
Well,
so that's done, actually going to be on Peachtree.
Well,
oh. Art, you should have known.
Well, I'll be watching it for sure. I'll happen upon it.
Well, it sounds like this has got the stakes higher than just another caboose on the old train. So, bud, I say that we make a bet right now. Steak dinner or $100, whatever you want. Those are the stakes. Literally, and so if The Office shows up ever again on any other streaming service besides Peacock before I die, you have to buy me a steak dinner.
Ever again? That is a huge variance, man.
Well, I don't know. I'm not that
healthy.
Can
we make it? Let's make it 10 years.
Okay.
We'll all make it 10 years. Yep.
Art! Jesus!
Yeah.
Okay, all right. All right, you're all my witness.
That sounds good. Sounds good. WandaVision, this is a great quote from Kevin Feige. WandaVision will explore the Scarlet Witch's ill-defined and unexplored power set. This was an article about the 6-episode Disney Plus miniseries, which will be dropping on January 15th, 2021. We don't know if this is going to be all at once or if it's going to be weekly. And Brian, you were saying that this got you extra hype for the show.
Yeah, it kind of scratched the itch. And it did make me realize that, yeah, they never really explained Scarlet Witch, her powers from the, because like her powers came from the Mind Stone, like Hydra was doing experiments on her. But yeah, so they never really fully explained it. This could actually even go into a little bit more detail in terms of how she got her powers, or maybe she was somewhat powered to begin with, which could also then lead to like, oh, she was a mutant the whole time.
Right.
Because, yeah, she, like, I think the only thing that we knew from, like, those experiments that Strucker did on her and her brother were that, like, they were the only two that survived the experiments. So maybe they were already powered to begin with, and this thing, you know, enhanced it. But, again, that's just sort of speculation. But, yeah, I like that Empire article because, one, it was short, wasn't a long read, but two, it had the right amount of words from Kevin Feige to like get me hyped for January 15th.
That's something I was going to point out. The article is blissfully short because it's not like every other article where they bury the lead and they start with the wide frickin' backstory of everything to get you reading down to the point of the article. Like, just tighten it up. We're all busy.
Wow. Pandemic.
What are we missing?
Meister Bud.
Pandemic Meister Bud.
What are we missing? What? What's so funny?
You being too busy to read.
Dude, that was amazing.
Empire is a magazine, though. They're not like a clickbait website. So that's probably why is they actually know journalism and know how to write.
How rare. Michael J. Fox is retiring from acting due to his declining health. Ooh, very sad, very sucky.
What's the last thing he's been in? I haven't seen him in.
He does a lot of cameos and stuff. Cameos?
Yeah. He had a good run on Curb Your Enthusiasm, where his Parkinson's is, I don't know if you call it the butt of the joke a lot of the time, but like it's played up for laughs, and I mean it's absolutely amazing, really funny, you know, really I don't know what you call it, self-aware or whatever, but like guy doesn't mind laughing, you know what I mean? Even at a pretty tragic situation. So he's amazing in that, but that was a few years ago now, at least.
He was diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's in 1991. He was 29 years old. Wow. I didn't realize that.
I read an article the other day about, it was about him and his wife and how they've been together like forever. And she apparently the quote was something like, when she heard it, she didn't even blink. And she was like, okay, what next? Like, right. And they're still together. And it was just very lovely. And yeah, Michael J. Fox.
That's so sweet. Yeah. He met her on the show, if I'm not much mistaken.
Which show?
Family Ties, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ooh, did they play like brother and sister or something?
No.
No.
Yeah, and I think what makes him so good on that run of Curb Your Enthusiasm, where he's like kind of played up as a dick, is that he's in real life, from all accounts, just like the most gentle and wonderful and kind human being imaginable. So, yeah, what a thing.
This is crazy. Back to shopping local, a bunch of people who ordered PS de Resistance's PS5s on Amazon, and I believe this is in the States, have been receiving things like coffee machines and George Foreman grills and cat food and empty boxes instead of the PS5s that they ordered.
What the heck?
Keep it.
Can you imagine?
Is this like a substitute? Because I've seen this. I don't know what company does it, but there's some company that's like, hey, do you wanted broccoli for your groceries this week? Sorry, we didn't have broccoli, so we gave you cauliflower instead. is that what this is?
I mean, that's hilarious and terrible, but I'm sure it has nothing to do with this.
Okay, so this is just like a weird mistake that's happening?
Yeah, it seems so.
It's hilarious. There,
you know, there's... Yeah, like, here's one particular thing from a journalist, Bex April May, who tweeted, delivery was fake missed at midday with a we couldn't deliver message. No attempted delivery was made. Now it looks like it was siphoned off and before reappearing this evening, replaced with an air fryer inside. And there have been enough of these that, you know, the giant monster, which is Amazon, has had to respond and say, we're all about making our customers happy, and that hasn't happened for a small proportion of these orders. We're really sorry about that, and we're investigating exactly what's happened.
Wait, back up. So it was still a PS de Resistance box, but it had a George Foreman inside of it?
Yeah.
What if somebody wrapped that for Christmas?
That is next level.
Like, if you didn't check and you got it for your kid and then you wrapped it for Christmas, and there was cat litter inside of it?
It's funny because it's something that I probably would do to my kids when they're older on purpose.
Wow.
To mess with them?
That's mean, but that's funny.
Wow.
Was there another story, Bud, that you were talking about, or someone posted about scammers or scalpers buying up PlayStation 5s?
Oh, yeah. There's, I believe, one group that has claimed 3,500 of these stupid things.
That's crazy.
That they have bought to resell at terrible, terrible prices. Do not buy from scammers, please.
Okay, but, you know, in a way, it's kind of shopping local, bud, so now is it.
He's not wrong.
Oh, man. And here's the thing. You know, any of the shipments that are coming, and that is it. Sony has officially said all orders are sold for this year. Mm-hmm. So there, you know, while the shipments may be coming and your local whatever store might still get some, you got to keep calling, keep trying, because after that, there's not going to be anymore.
That reminds me of the Christmas Office episode where Dwight does all the research to find what the hot toy is, and he buys like a shitload of them, and he's like selling them at the Christmas party.
I have a few thoughts on this. Number one, it's funny to me that like we, you know, have totally got like sold into this cycle. And listen, don't get me wrong. I'm the one who just like dropped, you know, a paycheck all on Apple stuff the second it was available. You know, but this, like, you have to get it right away thing. And especially with these next gen consoles is just, it's kind of a newish thing because I was thinking about it, Bud, back me up. What year did the Nintendo Entertainment System come out?
I thought that was 85. Let me know. I'll have to look it up though.
Yeah. I think it was 84 or 85. Late, maybe late 84. I remember that I got it for Christmas when I was 10 years old.
Yeah, so Japan in 1983, North America in 1985.
10 years! I was born in 84, right? Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. Like, it was out for 10 years before I got it, and I was so pumped and amped, and it gave me, like, years of playing, like, enjoyment until I even started to think about even the Super Nintendo. So it's like that cycle of like buy the new thing for game stations is like really tightened up, which is quite wild. The other thing is, man, okay, so like when you talk about scalpers and that it's a problem, we often immediately think about ticket resellers for live events, and there's a really easy fix for that. We've been talking about it for years. They do it in Las Vegas. You're only allowed to buy so many tickets, and you gotta, you know, show the ID when you come to pick them up that has the name that matches the credit card that you bought them on when you picked them up. It's the easiest thing. The only reason that it's not, I think, more well done now is so that these like secondary ticket marketing websites that are all owned by, you know, ticket sellers to begin with can like double and triple dip on the same product that they're selling you, which is like really, really a scam and totally immoral.
They're corporate scalpers, basically.
Yeah. So, like, you got to be able – you know, it's an easy fix, and it really should do it. And I know that, like, the music industry has been fighting it for a long time, and artists themselves obviously, you know, have put in all these measures into place where they can hopefully, you know, do something better than that. For this, what do you do? There's no easy real fix for I got my PlayStation. Now I'm going to go sell it. In fact, Kristen, you talked about how – physical media and buying your video games, you know, physically and being able to then share them with friends or loan them or trade them or sell them is a plus to these video games and is a positive. So how are we going to shut down a scalper thing in this way?
Well, I think the first thing they need to do is because like this company, they set up like an algorithm to purchase all of the things. And then so they got like 2,500 to 3,500. Like they just need to stop the bots, right? Like, or stop this algorithm. So
the system itself is broken.
Yeah. So like, sure, if the scalpers get one or two, that still sucks. But then there's still 3,000 in the hands of people that actually wanted to buy them for a regular price. So it's just technology, I guess, needs to.
Can they just add the whole which square has the trucks thing in it?
Yep.
And then the third thing is, guys, you're never going to believe this. I just, like, I'm absentmindedly scrolling Instagram, and there is an Instagram post with a naked puzzle on it. I swear to God. It's that.
Oh, my God.
It's okay. Like you said the words out loud, and you.
No, it's not like a sponsored thing. You know that, like, meme of that, like, big guy? He's, like, big and gigantic, and he's sitting on the edge of the bed. It's him as a puzzle. And then the. The pieces of his thing are not plugged in yet.
All right. The internet is spying on you. The internet is also trying to make this puzzle thing a thing. Stop it.
Isn't that weird, though? Come look at this, Art. Come look.
I've never seen this meme before. I don't know.
You never seen that meme? No. Anyways, I'll...
Yep, there's a naked puzzle.
I've had chicken friends send me links that went to that.
Yeah. I just sent Jason Lamb, I commented on Jason Lamb's Facebook post, and I had that guy and like the BC Ferries face mask logo.
Why does everyone?
And he's wearing like a sailor hat.
Wait, why does everyone know who this guy is?
Oh my God.
You've never had that?
No, why does everyone except for me know who this guy is? I've never seen this before in my life.
Really? Usually it's got the song You Spin My Head Right Round.
It does?
Oh, yeah, the link to it?
I didn't see that.
Okay.
What a weird thing. Puzzles.
Okay, that's great. So. Freddy Krueger from A Nightmare on Elm Street, the actor Robert Englund, is going to be in Stranger Things 4, the fourth season of that Netflix show, whenever it comes out, and is set in Russia. And he won't be playing Freddy or anything. He'll be playing a guy named Victor Creel, who is, quote, a disturbed and intimidating man who is imprisoned in a psychiatric hospital for a gruesome murder in the 1950s.
Oh, whoa.
Stranger Things still a thing for you guys?
It will be when it comes back, but like I'm at that point where it's just like, it's been long enough where I don't care right now. But once, like, I start seeing trailers, it'll be like, oh my god, this is the best thing ever!
Fair enough, fair enough.
And we gotta know what happened with David Harbour's character. What's his name?
Yeah, that's true.
Packer!
Yes.
Packer. What's his name?
No, it's not.
Hopper.
That's right.
Packer. You were way off.
Swimmy,
Swami, Samsonite. I was way off.
Yeah. Kirsten ruined Stranger Things for me, hilariously and famously.
Yes.
Famous moment from this pod. And so, no, I shan't be back. That's it. I've given up on Stranger Things. And it was a struggle for me. How many strange things can happen? Yada, yada. But I think that getting England.
Yeah, I just say England.
Getting him in there makes great sense. It's more than member berries and nostalgia of the 1980s. He'll be great in the show. It'll be nice to see him do something that's not Freddy Krueger. Don't you feel
true
bad
enough
for this guy? He's going to wear the same sweater for his whole life?
I think it's more about the 3 hours in the makeup chair than the sweater, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
Right.
I feel I may have to speed round the rest of this stuff because we've gone an hour and there's, 50 minutes, and there's still a lot of stuff left to talk about, especially our reviews and recommendations, so shall we speed round?
Yeah, let's do it.
The Last of Us has been greenlit from HBO. It's only in development, and it'll be focusing on the first game. So that's cool. Well, news for the future, I guess. Great. Taylor Swift's Folklore concert film, which she did earlier this year, will debut on Disney Plus on the far distant future of November 25th. Wait a minute, that's right now, so you can probably go watch that right now.
Delightful. It's John a great Boyega album. Art loves it. He told me today he loves Taylor Swift, right? You love it?
Yes,
I'm going to keep Disney Plus because of it.
And the concert albums are neat. The visual albums. Beyonce's a genius. She reinvented the genre. Next.
John Boyega describes a transparent phone call he had with Star Wars boss Kathleen Kennedy about race. It sounded like a pretty good phone call, as he described it in this article. There wasn't a lot about it, but it did sound mostly friendly.
Great.
An interesting article.
The show coming to Disney Plus 2022. Next.
Sure. An interesting article that says David Fincher says he doesn't know if it makes sense to continue Mindhunter. This came out the week after we talked about that there would be no next season. So this sort of, does this mean there is hope? We're confused. We don't know.
It's a nightmare to film, yada, yada, yada. David Fincher doesn't want to do it unless it's good.
A lot of time, a lot of money. Yeah. Christopher Nolan, there was a neat snippet from a book called The Nolan Variations by a guy named Tom Shore about tackling Batman before superhero films became, quote, engines of commerce. And yeah, it really is like that. You can really see the difference in Batman Begins and The Dark Knight before. It's not necessarily that it was formulaic, but it was sure a lot more about the story and the characters, and it did seem to become a bit more formulaic after that.
Okay, dude, you went to 1 year of university and you read a half a book by Noam Chomsky, and now you're throwing around words like engines of commerce? What a, just talking about shopping local. Next!
The Queen's Gambit is Netflix's most watched scripted limited series ever.
Joe.
Although I love all the qualifiers, scripted limited series.
Yeah, but anyway. Says Netflix again. Okay. Always says
yes,
Netflix.
Yes, with their magic secret numbers that we'll never find.
It's good, not great.
Boom.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Not enough chess.
A rare sealed Super Mario Bros. 3 game with the bros on the left as opposed to the right underside of the word mark has sold for a record 156,000 United States dollars. Nuts.
Yeah. You get too much money. Sorry. What's going on here? Why do you get that much money to spend on a video game you can't even play? Boo.
Yeah. Give it to me. Alexa, a developer at Alexa has made an app to translate cats' meows. Art Aronson put this through. Would you use this on Kobe?
I put that through? What did I do? Sorry, I missed that. No, I didn't.
You sent this article about the cat app.
Cat Meow translation. Yeah. That was just a joke. I didn't think it was going to go into the...
Oh, for the love of Pete.
I'm sorry. My bad.
Okay, but would you use the app if you could hear what your cat wanted to eat you?
Oh, 100%, yes.
Okay, good. Moving on.
There was a rap party for The Matrix 4, and it is under investigation now because it was staged as a film shoot, and 200-some-odd people showed up in costume to make it look like a shoot, and then they actually had a party. They say there was social distancing and everything, but bit of a mark on The Matrix 4.
Bad look.
And finally, there's a tweet of Anthony Hopkins just... He's just selfieing, videoing of himself, kind of just sort of losing it. Looks like he's on a bed, just rolling around, making some crazy, weird faces. And Anthony Hopkins is losing it in quarantine.
Get him in Stranger Things.
Oh, that would be great.
Invite him to a Matrix rap party.
Two pieces of rumor and hearsay. Deadpool 3, quote, finally has some life, and what that means is that writers have been hired. Wendy Molyneux and Lizzie Molyneux, the Molyneux sisters of Bob's Burgers are going to be writing Deadpool 3, which is kind of cool.
Kirsten,
and John,
can you do such a good impression of the mom from Bob's Burgers?
Do it!
I feel like it's so similar to the Baby Yoda.
I don't watch that one. I don't know. How does it go?
So, do the same, Kirsten, do the same voice and say, "Oh Christmas, you Christmas." Just say that.
Did you say you Christmas?
Oh Christmas, you Christmas.
Oh Christmas, you Christmas. I don't know why I'm
pretty
no
good.
Idea.
Pretty good.
I don't know Bob's Burgers.
Okay. Keep going.
And John Krasinski and Emily Blunt are reportedly in talks to star in the MCU's Fantastic Four.
Oh, what? Where did you get this article from? Brian's dreams at night? Boo! Boo!
Wow, Paul.
He's last thing before about we get this. To reviews. He loves this. He's writing fanfic about... Right, Brian? You love the... They're married. They're quiet space. You want them to be Fantastic Four, don't you? Admit it.
Quiet space. This would, yeah. I like it. That would be my some good news.
But they would be brother and sister?
No, they're they married.
They would be brother and sister. No, they'd be married.
That's not how, no, you can't just change, no.
Wait, which ones are they?
Next. Keep going, bud. Keep going.
It's confused.
Finally, just following up on something that happened last week that we
Four
talked
has
about.
Got a brother and a sister in it. I'm not crazy.
Keep going. Ignore her.
What we talked about last week where we brought up Lord of the Rings, but doing normal voices. I found two. I'm going to put them in the show notes this week. One is the Uruk-hai talking in normal voices that Paul pointed out. And then I got onto the strangest rabbit hole that led me to the Council of Elrond in computer text-to-speech voices from an old Mac. And that thing just gets weirder and funnier. I absolutely bust a gut listening to those, so...
What is it? What do you smell? Man flesh.
Oh, God, gosh darn it.
They've picked up our trail.
Gosh.
Let's get on to reviews and recommendations and Brian's 91-second movie review of Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Journey.
And now,
a Zonin 91.3 91-second movie review.
5, 4, 3, 2, and...
Action!
It seems like every handful of years, a movie comes along around November, December that tries and succeeds in turning itself into a holiday tradition. For many, there's Home Alone, there's Elf, there's The Polar Express, and of course, there's Die Hard. Awesome. This year seems to have one of those movies in Netflix's Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Journey. The movie is a vibrant musical about a joyful toymaker whose imagination and ingenuity is rekindled by his bright young granddaughter. It stars Forest Whitaker, Keegan-Michael Key, Ricky Martin, and young newcomer Madeline Mills. Now, I'll be honest in that I originally put this movie on for my kids to enjoy. I hit play on it and sat with them, but I'm kind of ashamed to admit that I'd fully intended to bury myself in my phone while the movie was playing. That being said, even from the first 5 minutes, the film's strong storytelling, captivating performances, and inspiring songs made me put my phone down and enjoy what turned out to be an excellent choice for a family movie night. The film's fantasy steampunk setting, colorful costumes, and musical and dance numbers beautifully beautifully capture the energy of a stage production and almost scratches that itch of wanting to be back in a theater setting, seeing musical performances live and in person. And with John Legend as one of the film's producers, it's no wonder why the songs have such a magnetic charm to them. With people seemingly trying to get into the holiday spirit a bit earlier this year, Jingle Jangle A Christmas Journey seems like the uplifting holiday-themed dose of positivity we could currently use and revisit for years to come.
Cut! That's a wrap!
Poof, that was great. I mean, aren't there Christmas movies every year that want to try and become staples?
Yeah, but a lot of them don't really succeed. But
do you think this one would for any particular reason?
Probably the musical element.
Right.
Nice.
For me. Like, yeah, because it was the music was pretty good.
The visual aspect, like the visual, the mood that they have drawn up with the steampunk and everything looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Kirsten has already started watching Christmas movies,
too. Yeah, we watched Home Alone the other day. Fabulous. Nice. And, okay, this was like a thing that came out a couple years ago, but Johnny hadn't heard it. You guys know that the movie in that movie, what is it called?
Angels of Filthy Souls is not a real movie.
It's
no, yeah. They invented it for the movie.
They invented it for Home Alone.
I know. Pretty great.
You filthy animals.
I thought it was real, too, all grown up.
Change a filthy animal. Oh, yeah. So good.
It's one of the best parts of that movie.
Yeah, anyway.
I haven't watched Home Alone in a long time.
That's why we watched it.
Great. It's such a good movie.
Yeah.
I think we talked about, Brian, that there's that series on Netflix that's like the stories behind the movies or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, the movies that made me.
And they talk about Home Alone and what a like chore it was to get made and what a surprise hit it was and what a massive hit it was. Anyways, what a great friggin' movie.
Yeah, something like 20th Century Fox came to the aid of it at the 11th hour and basically saved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's incredible. Now, who of us watched the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion? I did. I know Brian did.
Yeah, I watched it too. Late last night as I was falling asleep.
No.
No, I'm not a nerd.
Yeah, I'm not watching that crap.
Oh, bite me, you non-cool nerds.
A bunch of people hug each other. Remember when we were in a TV show 20 years ago? Crying.
I'm going to echo what Brian said in that I did not expect to get kind of mistied up a number of times during this chat about a television show. It was very emotional at points.
Yeah, and it's like I thought it would just get me in the way of being like, oh, I liked that show when I was growing up, so it would be cool to see the cast again, kind of thing. But it was like, it was weird. It was one of the, and last week when it came out too, it was a really shitty week for a lot of people. Like it seemed like a kind of a crummy, kind of depressing week, and it was like one of those things like, oh, this is like a nice dose of positivity. And then especially even that part with the other Aunt Viv, right? Like the Janet Hubert, who had like famously had this 27-year feud with the cast because she was let go from the show, and she had a chance to actually kind of say her piece and explain her side of the story with Will. Had a chance to apologize, then also actually had a chance to meet up with the rest of the cast and everything except for Alfonso Ribeiro, which the internet tried to make a thing out of.
Thing about that was they did the Will Smith thing and the rest of the cast thing. A lot of the stuff for social media, they did on a different day. And Alfonso Ribeiro hosts, what is it, America's Funniest Home Videos? He was working. It was simply a scheduling difficulty. And both Alfonso Ribeiro and Janet Hubert have come out and said, no, this, we're fine. It had nothing to do with the drama that you stupids are trying to make. It was just literally scheduling difficulties.
But yeah, it was like that. It was cool. And I think that, the whole part of it, it was just like, it's a really nice, positive thing to watch around the end of last week. So
I really needed it. Agreed.
I'm glad that you guys enjoyed it. I watched it last night and I kept thinking to myself as I'm watching this, I'm like, they're really enjoying this. Am I enjoying watching this? I'm glad that you guys enjoyed watching this. And it just, for me, it felt a little bit self-indulgent. But you know what? They deserved it for the run that they had on that show. And I'm not like huge Fresh Prince of Bel-Air fan. I like quite a few episodes that I can recall. It was a little bit before my time. I think I was kind of young when it was on TV. But I had more questions than answers at the end of it with the whole Aunt Viv and how they changed, like, the scheduling conflict or whatever. I don't like I we didn't hear Will Smith's side of it there. Like, they, like, cut away from that.
We've had 27 years of hearing Will Smith's side of it, though. Like, I think the only side that ever kind of came out was Will Smith's side, in that like he had basically said, and the rest of the cast said, that she was difficult to work with around that third season.
Oh, whoa.
Which is why they had to let her go.
But I will agree with Art in that the interview between Janet and Will obviously was cut down from a much longer source.
Oh,
but
for
it,
sure.
It did seem a little bit holy, a little bit, you know, like there were some large swaths that were cut out for time or whatever that I didn't make it feel a little bit unnecessarily overly chopped.
And
I think there is a lot that was assumed. Like you almost had to have known the backstory in order to like kind of get the full scope of it. And it does seem like, because like it almost seemed like that in itself could be a special, right? The whole thing could have focused on that.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
But yeah, I think like you're right in like these kinds of shows, and that's why I kind of came into it a little bit cynically. It's like these kinds of shows are all self-indulgence. Like when they announced that Friends is going to be doing a reunion special, and then like everybody was all excited, like, oh, Friends is going to be doing like a reunion show. And then we found out that that's exactly what it is. It's just going to be like the cast talking about, hey, remember when we got paid millions of dollars and didn't have any other representation from any other race in our group or whatever? Like that to me seems very self-indulgent. And like, that's kind of why I also came into this thing sort of cynically, is that like, that's all they're going to be doing. But they did talk about a lot of things that they did differently from other sitcoms, right? Like, this is the first sitcom to really break the fourth wall, mm-hmm. right? To do all sorts of different things that broke the fourth wall. And it was just like, and that's kind of why I enjoyed watching it, is because it was just fun, right? Like, it was like just a fun half an hour.
Yeah.
To me, there were a lot of clips that I saw, you know, both of the show and behind the scenes that I had completely forgotten or never seen before. And especially that Entertainment Tonight coverage of the last table read and show. That was fantastic. And I did not see that. So a lot of that was new to me. And yeah, definitely a pioneering show in its format in general, in some of the things they did, and in black advancement of being represented on television and whatnot. A wonderful, wonderful part of the fabric of advancing black voices.
A couple of things. Yeah, on that, Will Smith even has a line in there. He's like, the issues that their community was dealing with, we're still dealing with it now today, you know, unfortunately. Yeah. And some of the subject matter that they go to in the show. The other thing, I'm glad Alfonso, Ribeiro? Is that his name?
Ribeiro.
I'm glad that he came back and like played ball, because he kind of seems like the guy who returns to the school reunion is too cool. Like, too cool to come back after everybody used to make fun of him, you know?
Oh, well, yeah. Now he's hosting America's Funniest Home Videos. I mean, cool. Of course.
Anyways, yeah, I'm glad at that. And, and also it's just a reminder of, like, what a star Will Smith was then and I guess now. It was interesting. Yeah. I was reading an article back in 2012, and I tweeted this out last night late, because after watching the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion and watching Will Smith and how he acted then and now, this article came back in my head, and it was written by a sports guy, so there's a lot of sports references that you might not get.
Sports.
But yeah, and Bill Simmons, he's a great writer. But anyway, he wrote this article on Grantland. It's this pop culture website that actually went under, but it was a good website when it happened, and it was about the movie star, and it made me think differently about Hollywood. And Will Smith was the big subject of this article, and it talked about how Will Smith is a bankable movie star. It doesn't mean he's like a good actor, but he is a movie star. And it's and I don't think the article, it doesn't, over time it hasn't aged well, but just to watch Will Smith back in that time and to think about all the things that he was dealing with as a superstar in the Hollywood world, to where he is now, and to think about it in the lens of this article of him being a movie star was really interesting for me. So,
and this article was from 2012.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. Okay, I'm going to read that.
Yeah. So
Well, that's great. And I didn't mean to make you guys feel sad that you watched it. I'm so glad it was good for you. But Kirsten just got to bullying you, and I got felt peer pressure to join her.
Thank you.
Thanks for that.
Well, I'll never take her credibility until she watches The Social Dilemma. So.
Yeah, nah, right, there you go. Kirsten, there you go. Let's gang up on her now.
No, let's talk about The Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 4, The Siege. Good show.
Good one.
Mm-hmm. Directed by Carl Weathers, who plays Greef Karga. He directed this episode.
Yeah, and he did a great job, too. This one really had me going with all the, like, TIE fighter chasing.
Yes!
Yeah,
oh, my God, when you heard, you heard the TIE fighters before you saw them.
That sound so distinctive.
Yeah, and the sound of it, I was like, oh, my God! And then I wanted to call them scooters. The speeders, when they come out.
The land speeders.
Yeah. When they come out on the speeders. Except it was, I hated how, like, they came out on the speeders and, like, it was so cool. And I was like, wow, look at them go. And then they smashed into each other and exploded. For no reason.
Yeah.
I was like, well, we should have planned that better. Like,
it wasn't for no reason. They were going in between tight rocks, and they weren't going single file.
Yeah.
On the land speeders, when they found them in the thing, if you're in the bad guy hideout and you open up the garage and there's all the bad guy getaway cars, you knife the tires. You don't leave them to chase you when you're running away from the thing, even if you're blowing it up. That was just bad planning.
There are no tires on those things, though.
Did you know what I mean? You knife the space tank tire thing. Shut up.
I like all the Baby Yoda.
I'm going to talk to you about Baby Yoda. Number one with the baby. Okay, let me just say about Carl Weathers directing this thing. I got a tip of the old hat to him as well, because it was one of the big episodes of this show that I was like, wow, I'm like enjoying the hell out of this action.
Yeah.
It feels really classic Star Wars to me. Mm-hmm. It felt all that time I'm always talking about how, like, yeah, it's not enough to just be shooting laser guns. Mm-hmm. I like the quipping and the, like, hey, well, if you think this looks easy, come back. Right? Like, that kind of stuff. That, to me, is very classic Star Wars. And I love it. It makes it fun. And that's what I like about Star Wars, that it's fun and it's lighthearted.
And the stupid stormtroopers who have the worst aim in the history of aim. Seriously.
Yeah, that was great.
Yep.
And then the fact that also Carl Weathers was too busy thinking about getting a stew going, that, like, someone was in the background, like some friggin' jabroni in a t-shirt and jeans in the background of that. Oh, my God, that's unbelievable. What a great
meme.
That's almost like, oh, yeah, coffee cup? Well, we're going to put a dude in some sneakers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's not Carl Weathers' fault, though. He wasn't looking at the monitor. He was shooting.
That's right.
Yeah, of course.
Laser gun. Yeah. Now, okay, Kirsten, I want to hear your thoughts on the Baby Yoda. And I want to also, let's make sure that we call it the Baby Yoda. I tweeted this today.
That was a good tweet today, Paul.
Thank you. Because I just find, like, oh, everyone thinks they're so funny to say, like, oh, I'm talking about Baby Yoda. I know about things. And I do a joke and I'm into memes. Baby Yoda. I know one thing. Boo, basic, performative, bad. You call it the child, too nerdy.
Yeah.
That's what it actually is called in the universe. I hate, not fun. When you call it the Baby Yoda, it's like the baby Jesus, Christ-like and appropriate, and that's what I always call him now from now on, okay?
The Baby Yoda. Good work.
The Baby Yoda. Okay, what about this? Is the Baby Yoda evil? It steals, and it ate children, so...
They were unfertilized children.
Okay, splitting hairs.
No, and this week it's neon blue macarons.
You can buy
those.
They
don't have any life force in them.
You can buy those. They're a real thing. Yeah.
I fully believe it. That's why they made the macarons.
Yep.
So
after the space frog egg eating debacle, I'm waiting for hashtag macarons are murder to start trending on Twitter.
Anyways, I think it's great that it steals. So what were you going to say about the Baby Yoda, Kirsten?
I liked all the, like, Baby Yoda emotives in this episode.
Yes.
Like, he did more things.
Yes.
Like the hands in the air.
Like, stealing.
Yeah, and enjoying the ride on the Razor Crest was fun.
Yes.
I like that.
Hands in the air. That was so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I like that he steals.
I gotta do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great.
It's like a mischievous... Because Yoda would never do that. You don't see Yoda, like, taking someone's, like, Oreo cookies in the Jedi Academy.
Yoda was 900 years old. He could figure out what to eat.
Yeah, that's right. He smacked.
Two questions. What in the world, I guess this is the whole point, do we think those things were in the last shot of the show? And how are they tied to the organic whatevers being experimented on the base they blowed up?
Okay, yeah. You guys, this is what I really want to say about this episode. This, I've really been thinking a lot about Moff Gideon.
Right.
Okay, this episode really locked that in for me. Oh, he's waving a lightsaber around last season.
I'm wondering why he's in The Boys.
Yeah. What?
He's not waving a lightsaber around last season. He used a lightsaber for 10 seconds in the last shot.
I know, but that was what was supposed to get me all horny for him. Didn't work. But this episode, they're talking about, now he's got this weird plan where, what was he doing with the baby Yoda? Was he trying to, like, extract midichlorians?
Yes!
And then put it into him? And that's the... Well, okay, either into him or you think into these, like, stormtroopers, right?
So, if you looked in the background when they first break into this outreach thing, there's all those, like, weird things in their little tubes, test tubes. Uh-huh. Because they're trying to, like, clone something to give it midichlorians.
Oh, and there, it's going to be Snoke.
Yeah, that's
what I know. Oh, for the love of Pete, of course.
Because, like, the thing about this episode is, like, previous episodes have kind of sort of bridged the gap between, like, the original Star Wars trilogy. This seems like it was really trying to bridge the gap to the, like, the Abrams Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah, sequel.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and they actually had, and this is, like, a lot of this info, you can't say, like, Encyclopedia Britannica, because it's, like, Encyclopedia Screen Crush or whatever, wherever I got this from. But they actually talked a lot about, like, you know how you were mentioning, like, Carl Weathers and, like, the sound that he was using and all that kind of stuff? Like, he had a lot of attention to detail in this episode, and some of the, like eagle-eyed and eagle-eared people noticed that, like, when they're in that room and there's those blue guys in the tank and, like, Carl or Greef's Karga is, like, looking at the tank, there's this score that's playing, and the score that's actually playing is the same score that's used in The Force Awakens, and
that score
is called Snoke.
Oh, boy!
I love it.
So it's just like, and yeah, not, so obviously I would not have been able to pick that up, but, like, it seems like what they're trying to do is kind of bridge that gap between, like, oh, they're trying to clone something. And, you know, like, and you saw in, like, the third in Rise of Skywalker, there's that, like, tank full of Snokes.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe that has, like, some sort of connection. And they, like, they're talking about Baby Yoda's M count. And obviously that's them trying not to say midichlorians, but really saying midichlorians.
Yeah, no, please don't let this be connected to the new Disney trilogy. Let this be its own thing.
Oh,
please.
Are you kidding?
That is such a mess down there. That is such a mess down there. Yeah. We don't need that. This can be its own beautiful, gorgeous thing. No.
Oh, boy.
No. Okay. No, no, no.
Hey, now you know how I felt when I was like, don't put Boba Fett in the show.
Boba Fett. Oh my god, we got all this stuff and Boba Fett is still coming back.
I have a couple of things to say about this episode. One, a lot of people in the Star Wars, like the whole whatever, the whole Star Wars thing, want to lay claim to, like, the best pilot. Can we say Mando is right up there now? Some of the shit that he was pulling in that last episode.
Phenomenal piloting, absolutely.
Right?
Okay.
The ship is sweet.
Ship is sweet?
The ship is really sweet.
Yeah.
The ship is a character unto itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Poor ship.
Also, is Mando, like, just, like, he's just really powered up now. Like, it's like, you can't take this guy down. I had a friend that was texting me about this, and he's like, yeah, this Mando guy's, like, really badass. Like, not a huge Star Wars fan or anything, but he's like, where did this guy come from? How is this race of people not, you know, more prevalent in the Star Wars, what we see in the movies, right?
Yeah, well, they kind of are, right, and all the other stuff. I mean, I actually was watching a little bit of season one over the weekend, too, and it kind of shows him powering up and getting his armor and gear. Yeah. And, you know.
Yeah, the Beskar had a lot to do with it, but it also is a lot of training behind it, the cult training.
And I wasn't at the last pod, but you talked about the, what is it, the New Republic? Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah.
Why do they have to call it that? Why can't it be something else? Like, it's just It's lazy.
What would you call it, Art?
I don't know. Anything
right
other
now.
Than the Republic.
Tell me now. Make up a name.
I don't know. But it just seems like it's just too lazy. Empire, Republic, whatever. Boo.
United
the First Order.
Yeah.
United Provinces of the Galactic.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, let's just call it United Federation of Planets. That'll be a great idea.
I think this whole show is really, really heating up. Like, it is mm-hmm. getting so good. Like, the first season was putting all those dominoes in place, but it's still really likable and enjoyable. And now everything, you can see the things that they've set up
yes.
over the past year, kind of where it's going now. Because they are these standalone episodes, but now we are getting this arc kind of put in. And I'm really enjoying that, and it was fun to go back to some of the characters that we met last season and see them still be involved. Yeah, so good.
It's wild to watch like they're doing it so well, actually, that it's both these standalone adventures, you know, adventure of the week, monster of the week, that they're pulling that off so well
yeah.
at the same time as clearly setting up a really nice arc.
That is what the X-Files did really well, and that's what this show is reminding me of.
I'm kind of sad that you didn't mention it in the last pod. It needs to be mentioned too. I love in this show the surprises, like the surprise casting that you see there. Also, Appa getting another scene there in this episode
that
was great.
That was great. Yeah. Yes, I'm so happy for him.
Yeah, so hopefully he can be a reoccurring character. But back to the last episode, Titus Welliver showing up as
well. Woo!
Titus.
So this is the guy from the series Bosch that Art talked about a few pods ago, and I went all frickin' crazy haywire because Titus Welliver is a guy whose career I sort of followed since this pretty groundbreaking cop show called Brooklyn South that had that really violent opening where you basically see the top of a guy's head get blown off by a sniper.
Cool.
You know, pretty gritty and fantastic cop show, cop procedural show. And then, yeah, I would follow Titus Welliver and a lot of the other cast as to where they were. He was the commander, he didn't have a name, but he was the guy who, you know, committed Chompy Chomp electric suicide. I didn't mention it because I guess that was this episode.
No, it was last episode.
Well, why didn't I?
Yeah.
I'm disappointed in myself too.
Yeah. So anyways, I was a little upset listening to last pod that you didn't mention that. Also, Sasha Banks, come on, WWE wrestling fans,
mm-hmm.
her being in the last episode, she was pretty sweet as part of the, Bo-Katan's crew there.
Oh, yeah. That was cool. Yeah.
A smaller thing that I wanted to mention that maybe only Brian would notice, the comms officer just before the end, the comms officer that reported to bad Darksaber guy. Anyways, Brian, did you recognize the comms officer?
No.
This is Katie O'Brien, who was Katie from The Saviors in The Walking Dead. That tweaked me immediately.
Oh, totally didn't recognize her.
I don't know why, but for whatever reason, her face was just distinctive enough. I'm like, I know who that is. I don't know who it is. And then I waited for the credits, and then I tracked her down.
Huh. Oh, interesting.
Interesting. Okay, well, last thing I was going to just say about Moff Gideon and this, like, big plan now. Yes, I agree that he's trying to take out the Baby Yoda blood to make a Snoke. How crazy. And then also, yes, he's making, like, an elite group of stormtroopers. That's going to be sweet. But also, I think, this is just a theory, I think they're going to explore the other side of the Darth Vader worship coin that was present with Kylo Ren. I think that they're going to go that way, that not only is he trying to get the Baby Yoda's midichlorians for Snoke, he also wants to inject himself with it. I think he's got a bit of a Vader complex. He's got the...
Well, he's got that costume at the end.
He's got a whole closet of capes.
Exactly. He's got the cape action. His costume is similar. He's like... He's got that similar, like, cool, but, like, ruthless vibe. He's got his own laser sword. You know he just wants that last piece for him to, like, rise up to be the, you know, the Emperor's chief lieutenant to take Vader's
place. That last piece is the 70s swagger that you were talking about with James Earl Jones, right? That's what he's looking for?
He has that for sure, and I think that's going to play into it. Him... like wanting to be the next Darth Vader, and then
like the biggest fanboy. Like if Darth Vader walked into that room, he'd be like, "Oh, this is uncomfortable.
I love this theory so much. I love this.
Yeah, totally. And then it's eventually going to end up being Kylo Ren or whatever. I think it's neat. Okay. I'm stoked about that character.
If Gus Fring becomes that, oh man, TV people would just explode.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we're almost at 90 minutes, so let us quickly talk about some Star Treks before we wrap it up. Paul, a little mention of Discovery and Lower Decks, anything?
Just really quick, Discovery's plowing ahead and it's actually getting quite good. I think that all the stuff that people hate about Discovery, the fact that it's just a bunch of action schlock and it's not like, doesn't feel like Star Trek, they've done a good thing by, you know, rocketing them up 1,000 years into the future. It's like, you don't have to think about that. You know, nothing has to look like or feel like Star Trek. The other thing that Discovery did as a prequel was it tried to make it set in the same time as like the original series. And so, you know, the communicators and stuff, which was invented in the 1960s to feel futuristic, felt like so weird. And then it was like, oh, but we have holograms. Oh, but yeah, but now we need to retroactively like think of a line as to why we don't want holograms, why no one ever talks about holograms ever again. You have these characters in this ship like saving the universe, but why are they never mentioned in any other Star Trek that happens after it? You have to do all this like retrofitting shit, but that sucked, and that was like there was all this continuity errors that fans hated. Now, good, put them in the future. Let's not think about that. If you can dream up the dreamiest technology that you want to computer animate, great. It exists 1,000 years after Captain Kirk happened, so you don't have to do all this retro shit. And it works way better. It solves a lot of the show's problems, and it's the right tone for it, and I think it's really kind of neat, actually.
And please tell us about what Dan Ball said about Lower Decks.
Dan Ball is a good friend of all of ours who used to work with us and who loves Star Trek more than anyone. And he said that he messaged me and said that Star Trek Lower Decks is the best Star Trek ever. This is the cartoon one. He said it makes Deep Space Nine look like Voyager. Which I barely get that reference myself.
Well, here's the thing. Deep Space Nine is the prime series for him. He did not like Voyager at all.
There you go, yeah. He says, it fucking ripped so hard, I ruined my pants during the last episode.
So that was probably a bit too much. But anyways, as I said, we love you, Dan Ball.
And he's right. I don't know if we talked about it, but the last episode of Lower Decks is unbelievable. It's so friggin' sweet.
And when you say last, that's the end of the season, right?
Yeah, the end of the season.
That was a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, yeah. It does this really funny thing where it makes fun of people who I always make fun of, where I'm always like, oh, it's Boba Fett or whatever, right? So this, like, they keep calling the spaceship the Enterprise, like, yeah, Enterprise, even though it's not. It's the Cerritos on Lower Decks. And then the Titan, another ship, comes flying in, and then they go, oh, no, it's another Enterprise. Anyways, it's just really – that's really funny, and it's like a kind of a meta winky naughty thing, and that show is really good too.
All right, friends, anything else for the pod? Kirsten James, where can we find you making cookies?
She didn't make the cookies. That's why she's stuttering because her
idea.
Husband made
the robot
cookies.
Butler made the cookies.
No, it was my idea to make the cookies. It started with
it's
me.
Your idea.
Is it the idea?
That's where they're at so in their household.
Wow. Yeah.
Kirsten has an idea, so she took credit for this.
Yeah, you were drinking a mocktail with your feet up, watching Home Alone, and your robot butler was slaving on these cookies. Are we right about this?
No, I made the cookies. I made the cookies so much so that I didn't realize how much butter and sugar goes into a cookie.
Yeah.
It's insane. I was like looking at Johnny and I was like, the whole thing? And he's like, yeah, put it all in. I was like, but all the butter?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, put it anyway. And I made those cookies.
Parents, did you ever get your children to help you make cookies?
That was me.
That was you.
I made such a mess too. And I was like, man, cookies are messy. And then Johnny cleaned up the mess.
Jeez. But it was your idea to get the mess cleaned up, right?
Yeah, that's how I did it. And I said, oh man, cookies are messy. And then I walked away.
Job well done.
Great job.
Oh, man. So that's Kirsten.James, yeah. Paul Plastino.
Yeah, had Paul Plastino.
Brian.
DJ Boitano, Facebook, and Boitano913 on Twitter and Instagram.
Master Scholar Art Aronson.
Yes, at Art Aronson. Oh, one other thing when you're talking about baking there. The Chef Show, there's an episode called like Milk Bar or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, Milk Bar.
Oh, man. Watch that episode about baking and you'll be like, man, I should never eat anything baked ever again.
They use a lot of butter.
Yeah, the amount of butter. Yeah. At Art Aronson. Thanks.
And I am Webmeister Button on socials. This has been the Geek Out Podcast, episode 112. Thank you for listening. Bye.
The Geek Out Podcast is a production of the Zone at 91.3. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of this radio station. And really, some of those views are pretty stupid. I mean, come on. For more on-demand audio from The Zone, visit thezone.fm/podcasts or the on-demand tab of our app. Thanks for listening, and thanks for being a zoner.